Be turning to the book of Daniel chapter 1. We're in lesson 9 as we're studying through the book of Daniel. Last lesson we talked about the names of Daniel and his, the three Hebrew children, and how Nebuchadnezzar changed those names to resemble the gods that they serve. But in Daniel chapter 1, you have a typology and a picture story form, a type of a Jewish remnant in captivity. And it's really a special and a faithful and a separate remnant. And in verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, you'll find Daniel making a real decision regarding his service to the Lord. And Daniel is a very young man, isn't he? And he's around 12 to 14 years old. And I know what the world looks at 12 and 14-year-old people today, and they don't give them much of a chance. You know, we're going to tell you. But I know back in the day, and you do too, our parents and our grandparents at 12 and 14, they was making some big decisions. In life-changing decisions, whether it's working, whether it's a career, or whatever. But sometimes it's hard to understand that someone that young can really serve the Lord, isn't it? You know, we look at ourselves. I wish, you know, I knew the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 8 years old, and I knew I was taught who He was, but I really didn't know who He was until I started understanding the Word of God, rightly divided, and I made it a personal commitment to Him, and He died for me. I know the Bible said He died for us, but He also died for me personally. And when I understood that, it made a world of difference in my life, and I wish I held to it when I was a younger age. And all of us, well, you got kids, and we have kids, and they're my youngest kid's 24 now. Be 25 next month? April. So he's still the baby, but still, you know, he's like, Dad, I'm almost a quarter century years old. And I'm looking at him like, where did you go? Where did the time go? But Daniel, as the verse says, purposed in his heart. You know what he did? He made his mind up from the heart. And that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. Daniel has made a clear-cut stand, and the issue, of course, is what? Separation. Now, he was socializing with them all, but he would not do a certain thing. And as you end verse 8, and there's a great deal of discussion, if you think about the unity of the church, the body of Christ. Have you ever thought about that, the unity in the church and the body of Christ? And the unity of the church and the body of Christ, and the importance for each member of that body of Christ. Now, we're members in particular. And God today is forming a body. He's not dealing with a nation. And the nation Israel was particular, wasn't they? And the body of Christ is particular. And each one of us is made up differently. But we have unity around the doctrine. We have unity around the Bible versions. We have unity that way. And in fellowship that we have together, we of all people should understand certain issues about separation. And we're going to talk about that today, and what Daniel was up against. But yet along with unity of the body of Christ, there's an issue of purity in the body of Christ. And in any time you sell the truth and the purity of the body of Christ for unity or anything else, you have sold it at a too high of a price. You know the verse in Proverbs that says, buy the truth and sell it not? Mm-hmm. You know, that, and it says, and sell it not, also wisdom and instructor and understanding. There it is again, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's all through your Bible, and we broke that down last time. But you buy this truth, but you don't sell it. You don't sell out. And many of us know that a lot of us, I know members that, like I said before, have stood and preached beside of me and has sold out. They no longer want this message. And that's sad. And you may be sitting there, how could you do this? How could you go back? Well, it's very simple. The battle is right here. And you just quit. You just don't want to fight no more. But who does your fighting for, you guys? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's won the battle. All you have to do is stand in the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The first issue with God is always truth. and purity. Then it's peace, and then the other things. And you know who understood this? Daniel understood this. And Daniel understands the struggle in his life as a believer. The same struggle you and I have today, Daniel's went through at a young age. You know, we look at, you guys know this as much as I know that. When you have issues, have problems, you listen to somebody else. You have no problems. You know what I mean? You have no issues because they're dealing with some things that's way far greater than what I can deal with, whether it's health or finances and all that stuff. And I'm, pitiful me. And you look at the brother or sister over here, and they're having a rough, rough time. But we're not perfect. And we don't strive to have a perfect church, okay, in the body of Christ here. We do strive for the purity of the church and the righteousness and for correctness, that our hearts be right. And my position, as you know, is my position is to guard the doctrine and integrity and that's here. I can't let just anybody come in and preach to you and all that stuff. It would just destroy you. You know, especially if it's non-doctrine issues or whatever. The doctrine's very, very important to us, and we should hold it true. And that's what Daniel is doing in verse 8, is the issue of separation. And that is a vital issue in the Bible. Vital issue. And notice that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Why? Because of sacrifice. Okay? Because meat and drinking are defined to Daniel because they was being offered to who? Idol. It's not so much of being sacrificed, it was sacrificed to idols. And Daniel, as you know, he's not a vegetarian. And who's recommending a vegetarian lifestyle. The issue here has to do with not eating things offered to idols. Hold your finger there and go to Exodus chapter 34. And get 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And put something in Deuteronomy chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. You know what they're supposed to do there? Break down every idol worshiping system when they came in the land of Canaan. And if anybody ever read that book, Satan's Plan of Evil, he does a great job showing all those Hittites, Jesuites, Amorites, all those ites in the land of Canaan. They're satanic strongholds. They're Satan's strongholds. And Israel did go in there and do what to them? Destroy them. Because they're over there. They're over there with their worshiping, with their idol worship. And they're in the promised land. And they've been there for a long, long time. And for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. And they go a whoring after their gods and do sacrifices unto their gods. And one call thee and thou eat his what? Sacrifice. That idolatrous system around the nation Israel as they moved out of Egypt and go into the land of Canaan. Exodus 12:38. Wait, let me ask you this much. Do you believe that only Israel, when Pharaoh let Israel out of Egypt, was it just the Israelites that left?
No.
You know that, don't you? They was a mixed multitude of people. Is that good or bad?
Bad.
It's bad. Because here you have the nation Israel doing what God says, and you had a mixed multitude going right alongside of them, and they're jumping back and forth. You know, and that's not good. That's not good at all. So the mixed multitudes wasn't a good thing when they went up with their flocks and herds and cattle. Now God told Israel to destroy the religion in Canaan. And if Israel did not destroy the religious system, they would end up eating the things that has been sacrificed to idols. And you better not do that, Israel. Okay? God will judge you. And there's a warning all through your Bible about that type of stuff. Did you notice in Daniel 8, it says he doesn't want the meat nor the wine? Not only was the meat offered to idols, but there was also a drink offering made to the idols. And you're in Exodus, stay there, I think. But also go to 1 Corinthians. It was a part of what Paul was saying that he called devil worship. You know, it's not strange to me, but when we started working through, we just started the book of Daniel 8 lessons ago, and it seemed like right off the bat he's dealing with meat and drink. Right off the bat he don't want nothing to do with that. I'm like, whoa. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 through 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 through 21. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In other words, don't get involved with the religious system out there in the world. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That's a question there. Well, is it? Yes or no? Yes. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? In other words, the communion and the cup of fellowship with the Lord and with another one, because it's Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to the idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Devils. And not to who? God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot partake of the Lord's table and the tables of devils. This is serious. It was serious then. It's serious now. And it's going to be serious in ages to come. It's interesting, the devil worship is connected with a cup and a table, isn't it? Now, some of you may watch movies, some of you may read books, whatever, but it seems like there's all kinds of sacrifices going on around satanic stuff. And we have a communion service, if you will. We have what we call the Lord's table. We eat a meal. And after we eat a meal, we do the table. We don't call it the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's table. And there's a reason for that. And if you break it down, you can go on through that, but this is not what we're talking about. It's a memorial of the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. The idolatry system of the world has a table where they eat and drink. Maybe strange to you, but we're going to break this down here in a few minutes. And you might think, wow, I come out of that stuff. Or you may think, does that stuff still go around? But the things are offered to sacrifice. The things offered in sacrifice to idols. What Daniel doesn't want to defile himself with is that. The meat offering and the drink offering used in connection with the worshiping of devils. And the activity that goes along that. Now the meat and drink offerings that Daniel is objecting to is a part of the Bible called what kind of worship?
Devil worship.
Not only devil worship.
Baal.
Baal worship. Baal worship. Over and over again in your Bible, you'll see that type of stuff, and it's called Baal worship. Now, this origin, now, I'm going to mention a church, and I'm not being ugly, But anybody have heard Roman Catholic Mass? Okay. And some of you may come out of it. Some of you, that is being performed today. Okay. And I just want you, you don't have to believe me. I've seen it. Many of you have seen it. Believe your Bible. And what to choose from. God gives you volition, doesn't he? He does not ever violate our volition. Praise God, you know, hallelujah. You know, he allows you to make that decision, but he also says it's going to bring death. That type of thing. So you have to make a decision. They ring a bell and profess to literally turn the wine into blood, and they take a little piece of broken wafer, and they said it's literally the flesh of the body of Christ. So you're drinking his blood, and you're drinking his body. Or eating his body, thank you. It's one of the mysteries of the religion that it looks like wine, but it's really blood, that type of thing. You know, it's sad that when they hold up a wafer and they said this is his body, they believe that. You know that? They believe it wholeheartedly. And you may ask, well, where'd that come from? Did they just like, boof, this is what I want to do? Anybody have heard of Council of Trent? In 1545, a Roman Catholic council that established a counter-reformation said that they would excommunicate and you would go to hell if you don't believe and do that. So that scared a lot of people. If you know who controls Bible history or Christianity, it's certain sects out there that takes it and runs with it. You'll never find, you always hear our brothers say, you'll never know you was here today. You will, but church history will never record this day in their history books. So, but there's a controlling factor, and many of you know I've been searching my ancestry, and I found out, well, one of them was involved in the murder of King Charles I. I hope none of you have descendants of King Charles. It was long, long ago. And when his son became power, guess what he did? He went and they assassinated him. One of my great, 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 great grandfathers. What I'm getting at is whoever's in power has control. And if they say they don't want you to do this, guess what? You better not do this or you'll find yourself in the gallows. But look, the source of all religions is in the Bible, in these passages that we'll be reading, and is known as in the Bible as Baal worship. And that is what Daniel didn't want to be a part of, that religion known as in the Bible as Baal worship. Daniel was objecting to meat and offering to idols and drink offerings. You got Deuteronomy chapter 32? Yes? Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting with verse 29. This is a passage about the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Oh, they that were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to fly, except their rock? Notice the uppercase on the R, please. And that is who? Who? Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Has sold them and the Lord. Is that uppercase? That's the rock. Has shut them up. For their rock. Notice the lowercase. Is not as our rock. Notice the uppercase. Even our enemies themselves being judged. Do you know a religious system that professes to have their church built on a rock and the rock isn't Jesus Christ? You know where I'm going with that. That's Matthew 16:18, where he says, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock." Now, is that rock uppercase or lowercase? It's lowercase. "I will build my church," and I have them break their, you know, and they're breaking their necks just trying to make that be Jesus Christ, what I'm trying to get at. That's not Jesus Christ. He's the rock. You know who they are? The people in Deuteronomy 32, 31. Their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judged. Even our enemies can tell the difference. Deuteronomy 32:32. "For their vine is the vine of Sodom, and their fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their cluster are bitter. Their wine is the poisonous of dragons and cruel venom of ass." Go down to 37. "And he shall say, where are their gods?" Is that uppercase or lowercase? You know who the big G in the Bible is? He's God the Creator. Who's the little G? Everybody else. There you go. Yeah. Very good. Everybody else. Their rock, little rock, in whom they trusted. Their rock is their gods. They're making their own self gods. Do you know who gods in the Bible are? Yes, no, maybe.
How about Tap?
The gods in the Bible. You know who they are?
Satan.
You say Satan?
False gods.
Who? Fallen gods. False gods.
False gods.
False gods. They're also angels. Okay. God made many gods. There's many gods in the Bible. And if you notice, there are good ones and there are bad ones. And there are some fallen angels and there are some righteous angels. And they are called gods in the Bible. And this religion had some bad gods that they worship. And the gods of the heathen are all idols. Now, you may agree with me or disagree. There's a thing called the gap. I call it the gap fact. A lot of them call it the gap theory. Something happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I believe it did. Because God never made anything incomplete. But there's some fallen angels out there. You know who they're following? Satan. He's a god. He convinced one third of the angelic beings to follow him. Can you imagine that? One third? You know there's a void up there? You know one day you're going to fill that void? That's why it's very, very important to know your Bible. Know the understanding wisdom. But you see, when you read about the cups of devils, it's plural, right? People get upset and say that there is only one devil. There's one, there is a devil, but there are also devils, as we read in the verse. And there's a lot of them. The Greek word is used demon. And they use the word demons that they believe they are two kinds of demons. Good demons and bad demons. I don't want to know any demons. The Greeks believe that Aristotle and Plato and others was a good demon. That's how they looked. So what it also looked at them as? Gods. And anyone that was like a genius was a genius demon. But he also had bad demons. The word demon, the word devil capitalized is the head guy, Satan. Just like the big G, little G. Listen, he's the counterfeiter, is he not? And he's going to convince a lot of things. That's why we're shown in Deuteronomy 32, verses 37 through 38, he says, "And he shall say, where are their gods?" Big G, little G. "Their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offerings. You see that? Those people had blood sacrifices, meat sacrifices, drink sacrifices. They offered blood offering and drink offering. To who? Their gods, yeah. To the fallen angels, to the demonic beings. Hey, listen. Whether you believe this or not, I do. Those angels, fallen angels, came down and seen the daughters of men, and they, you know what they made?
Giants.
What's that word they use? Nephilim?
Nephilim.
Yeah, Nephilim. That's real. And then you know what? They was here before the flood. And they was here after the flood. And some people think football players, you know, you ever see some
the
of them?
Short.
Yeah, the short.
The
yeah, but you know, whether you believe in these theories or whatever, you know, I was told to read, well, you know, you read all kinds of, that in Afghanistan, they have evidence of this.
Giant killings.
Yeah. You dig up these mounds in Ohio, their skeleton's 9 foot tall. You know, you're like, and then they cover them back up. It's very interesting about, and I don't want to get off track here. I was with a brother a couple weeks ago, and he made a very good observation about Sodom and Gomorrah. And what are we told about Sodom and Gomorrah? That it was filth and nastiness going there, right? Sin and homosexuality and all that stuff there, right? But who appeared there in that town? Those two angels, right? Men. What did those people want?
They wanted to defile them.
What was they used to having there? Giants. And that breed was dying. And this is, was a good, you know, and I'm like, that's very interesting that you could take, because if they can breed another angel, guess what they're going to have?
More giants.
And they're going to have their species back. But anyway, I'll digress. But look, Israel had offerings, as you know, right? They had, look, they had burnt offerings. And you know what that burnt offering did?
Smell went up the Lord.
That burnt offering, the whole animal was burnt on the altar of fire. And the sacrifice became entirely, was given to God Almighty. Nobody took the meat. Nobody took the blood. It went to God. That's the burnt sacrifice. Then they had a grain offering. You know, where they took unleavened baked goods and mixed it with oil. And the rest went, and they offered on the fire. And the rest went to the priest. Then they had a sacrifice of well-being, fellowship offering. That was associated with feasting and well-being. And they took a herd or animal, inwards, fat, kidneys, and parts of liver, and were burnt on the altar fire. And most of the animal was eaten. Then he had a sin purification offering. Then he had a guilt offering. So they're used to offerings. But there's something going on here with devil worship and Baal worship that God didn't want to know them to have a part of. And where is Daniel at this time? Go back. Get Jeremiah 44. And Psalms 16. Where's Daniel at? He's in where?
Captivity
in Babylon. The seat and the source of the original of Baal worship. And that is what is going on in that area. Babylon, Baal. You with me? Everything offered to the king of Babylon had first been offered to the idols. The king is considered to be a god. He's the high man. And the sacrifice offered to the gods, and then it's taken to the king to eat. And Daniel is not going to eat that stuff, guys. He don't want no part of it. And he refuses it. Because he knows it's been offered in the way of his devil worship. And what's going around in the world today And different religions, system, comes from somewhere. And you know where it comes from? Right there where we're at. And Psalm 16:4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hastens after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. He's telling them, stay away from that stuff. And there are people worshiping other gods, and they're having drink offerings of blood. Jeremiah 44. Starting with verse 15. Jeremiah 44:15. Then all the men which knew their wives had burned incense unto another gods, little g, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, and was it Pathros? Answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will hearken to those words. Mm-hmm. What does it say? You should underline that. No. We will not hearken unto thee. Jeremiah is up there telling them what they're doing, and they're not going to hearken to what God's spokesman says. Hey, you know anybody who refuses to hear Paul's message today?
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's no different, is it? Look, but we are certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouths to burn incense unto the who?
Queen of Heaven.
Do you know Queen of Heaven has a church? And you know what? Are we in the 20th century or 21st century?
21st.
And it's still going on today. 21st century. And they pour out offerings into her, which goes around with drink offerings of blood and talking to the Queen of Heaven. Hey, there's a question here. You know what the problem with understanding the Bible is?
Responsibility.
Anybody else? It isn't that the Bible's hard to understand, but you have to have a modern translation, right? To understand it. The problem is with the Bible that it offends people. All you have to do is speak the Word of God, and it's going to offend people. Because, you know, you can go toe-to-toe with them and say, this is what the Bible says. No, that's what you say. And you read it to them, and they read it to them. No, that's what you say. That's your interpretation. They get offended. That's human nature. You know that? Am I my brother's keeper? First question in the Bible, isn't it? When Cain killed Abel? And my brother? Deny. Offends you. Where is he at? It offends me. But look, it stomps on everything that people hold dear and in highly esteem. I had to make my mind a long time ago. I'm a Bible believer. I'm not a Bible packer. I'm a Bible believer, and it does offend me when I don't line up with it. I've seen people preach and teach and want to do this and do that. You give them the Bible and give them the verses, and it starts affecting their life, and they give up. And all you have to do is conform to it. And God will conform you to it if He's inside of you. That's rough. You know, this flesh is the flesh, guys. You're going to deal with this flesh for the rest of our life, aren't we, honey? You know? You're made up of three beings, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is how your thinking is, how you process the Word of God. The soul is the real you. You break this clay pot off and you'll see you. You ever seen the verse when Paul says, I knew a man, whether in the body, out of body, I cannot tell? You know what he's doing there? That he went to the third heaven? Whether in the body, or out of body, I cannot tell? When he went to the third heaven, he looked at himself, wait a minute, I still have hands. In the body, out of body, that's your soul. That's who you are inside of you. So you get this, you get the doctrine in your spirit and gets down in your soul. It transforms you and makes you a different person. If you get wrong stuff in there, me and my wife was talking about this the other day. She said, you think What you feed your brain has the way you talk to people. Well, what's the answer? Yes. You know, so garbage in, garbage out. What you put in this battlefield right here, and it is a battlefield, guys, whether you're young or old, you're constantly in a battle right here in this mind. That's your spirit. And it can dictate how your soul and body operates. But this flesh is powerful, and that's what these devil worship and stuff is doing. Jesus said that which is highly esteemed among man is abomination to God. The Bible just going to go right on through, regardless of your and I viewpoint. You and I, you know, we say this all the time. You got God's word, you got Satan's word, and you got human viewpoint. That's what created in the garden. Okay, Satan didn't mind you following him, but if he can convince you you're a god, your own human viewpoint, you'll deny God's word. You even deny Satan's word. I'm a God. That's scary, isn't it? But look, there are people out there pouring drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven. As we've done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the city of Judah. You're still in Jeremiah, right? Mm-hmm. Judah is in complete religious apostasy. They're no longer serving the God of the Bible. They're serving a heathen god. You don't know nobody like that today. And they're worshiping Baal. They have a male god Baal and a female god Ashtaroth. And she is the queen of heaven. And she is described in pictures and carving of her as a moon. And Baal is the sun god. And Ashtaroth is the moon god underneath his feet. And these are symbols and religious systems all throughout the world. How many of you have seen those symbols coexist? Have you ever looked at that and just studied that out? Now, we're reading some passages. If God told the nation Israel not to mingle, they're not to even mingle the seed. I don't think they're even supposed to intermingle in their tribes. And you're going to coexist? You can't coexist with some denominations. You know that? But look, I don't want to preach at you. And in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of, was it victuallers? And were well and saw no evil. In other words, when we was worshiping the devil, he took care of us and prospered his church, and they didn't have any problems. See that? That's what was going on in Jerusalem. Verse 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. If you think success in a local church and the body of Christ is growing, and it's growing and it's multiplying, what are you doing things right? Should be doing stuff right. We grow, we drop. But when you're out there worshiping other religions, you can grow like that. You know as well as I know, if I change the doctrine here, you know, many of you wouldn't come back. But we could double this place. We'd have to have two meetings a day. Like that. Just change a few things. Because people likes convenience. They like to be welcome. Today, all the talk is about church growth. You ever notice that? How big's your church? I'm like, well, we got 20, 25 people if all show up. If they break out their pictures in their wallets, they're standing room only. You know, that type of thing. But that's nothing new, guys. It's nothing new. Listen, Sherry and I came up here. We moved to Ohio to start a church. We caught 25,000 people within a 15-minute radius and asked you two questions. Some of you may not remember that. Some of you may got a call from us. One, we asked, are you actively involved in a local church at this time? If you said yes, we said, God bless you. We're looking for people that needs a church home. God bless. We didn't try to proselyte you. If you didn't, we said, can we mail you something? In 5 weeks, we actually caught 22,000 people. 1,700 people said, mail me something. Out of 1,700 people, when we called them, said, hey, our first service Palm Sunday. Can we expect you? Yes. 700 and some people said they would be there. We're like this, right? We didn't have, no, we had an overflow. We rented a church down here in downtown, overflow. 165 people showed up that Sunday. Yeah, not bad. You're like, wow. You know, maybe this is a good way to start church. Then you started working through your doctrinal statement. You don't believe what? You don't believe what? We sung, I'll Fly Away.
Lost the whole family.
They didn't believe in catching away, the rapture. They just gone. But church growth and the way you do things can change. You know that. We did a mailer in this area. Tom and Barb got through the mailer. You know, that type of thing. There's different ways you can do it, but you don't compromise the doctrine. And you talk of church growth even back in Jeremiah's time. And all the emphasis on the church growth is people believing that their church is growing. It must be because God is blessing the church. You heard that? Look at that parking lot out there. Our parking lot's pretty full out there. You know? But you go by these big old churches and they're got people parked, you know, directing you. And you're like, and you talk with some of the people and they're sincere, aren't they? You talk to them about who they are in Christ and they know who they are in Christ, but they like that atmosphere. Some of them have Starbucks in there now. And all that. And I'm like, Queen of Heaven. That's my view on her. But look, as quick as they start standing up for the Word of God, God is going by the book, guys. What happens? What happens when you start saying, hey. Yeah, there you go.
That's what happened.
The attendance starts to drop. And people jumping ship every which way. You can't get people to come to church for the right reasons sometimes. I know people drive a long way just to come here. They pass probably 150 churches. And you probably ask your dad and mom at times, why don't we go to that church? It's got a cross on it. Hey, they got grace in their name. And you have to explain to them that it's not what God is doing. And I encourage everybody to get you a doctrinal statement from that church and just read it and see if it lines up. Sometimes it lines up, but then you get into preaching and he's like, was he taking me here? And he has no knowledge of what God is doing today. Listen, the Bible says study to show who? Thyself approved. You guys going to have to stand up. And I know your youth, you're like, oh, man, don't put no more on me. I already got this. But you had to study yourself. And you got to know who you are in Christ. And the attendance dropped. So they went back to the other thing because that worked. Listen. There's a lot of people come through these doors. Ain't they, Leon? And I thank God for every one of them. Some of them left on a bad note. Some of them left on a good note. But you know what? The door's still open. And I they call me up and see how I'm doing. I'm like, hey, we're still here. You know, we've got a list of people from a mailing list, 200 some people in this area. And, you know, I'm like, why don't I just contact these people and see how they're doing? You know what I mean? That's the, what do you call that? The welcome committee? What committee does that in the churches?
Hospitality
committee or something like that. But anyway, the passage is something Do you know what it sounds like? It sounds like modern religion in America that we're looking at. When we get the Bible and we have the meat and the potatoes of it. How many like meat and potatoes? Yeah. And every now and then you feel like going out, like, oh man, is he going to talk about Pauline today? Is he going to talk right division today? And you get that indigestion. You know, like, oh man, I know who Paul is. I know Romans through Philemon is my the books to me. I want to know something different. Hey, listen, get to know who your apostle is. Get to know who those books are. Then all this other stuff will fall right into place. I was that way. Oh, man, I'd sit back there. Oh, man, I want to know something new. And I started listening to something new. And you know what it did? It started making me drift away. We have people today that so worried about if there's dinosaurs on the ark. You know, did Paul have hair on his head? You know, Adam had a belly button. You know, that. And they're so wrapped up in things like that, and they're always trying to search for something new in Paul's epistle, and they just won't rest in that. You know what I mean?
What's the shape of the earth?
Yeah. Is it flat or is it round? What difference does it make? Are you saved or lost? Mm-hmm. That's what God is doing.
Amen.
And you get in the Word, and you're like, well, okay, from God. Just side note. When God looks down on the earth, what does he see? Have you ever heard what? It's a footstool, he says. And when you read David, and David's pinning what God is saying, not that David's looking up, God is looking down. And it would look flat. Okay? But that don't, listen, I'm recording this stuff. And shame on me. Isn't it hard enough to share right division to somebody that's lost or even somebody saved without them thinking you cuckoo and you're going to go chasing strange doctrines? Stick with the book. If you're saved, praise God, hallelujah. Verse 19 right quick. Verse 19. And when we burnt incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make cakes, her cakes to worship her, and poured out drink offerings unto her without our men? They prospered then. They burnt incense to the Queen of Heaven and prayed to her. You know any churches are doing that today? There's a lot of churches and a lot of different names. They pour out drink offerings to blood to her. They make cakes, little wafers. You know, Romans called her Venus. The Greeks called her Minerva and Diana. Syrians and all that. They all, Romans Catholic calls her what today? Mary. Thank you. But by any other name, she is the Queen of Heaven. She is the same person no matter what you call her, and that's where she came from, guys. And it's not different. No difference today. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he is doing when he says that he purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat, he is setting up the standard of separation of the Jew in captivity. Listen, when they come over here and agents come after we're taking out, they're going to go in captivity over here. And they're going to be a little remnant that believes. There's 144,000 priests that's being preached the first half of that time. And they're going to be preaching against that Antichrist. And they're going to be preaching the Word of God. I believe they're going to be preaching the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a book of doctrine for them. And they understand who they are and what Christ did. But they're going to see, wait a minute. There's a guy sitting on a throne that says he's God. Okay? And there are going to be some mixed up people out there. But there's going to be a remnant of people that believes that word and looks in their Bible. And they're going to have a Bible that you have. Maybe not the English, probably Hebrew Bible. And they're going to see that this is truth. You can see that this is true. And you need to separate from that. And those Jews will separate. They runs to the wilderness over here. Did anybody over here go in the wilderness? Did God take care of them? Would God take care of these? He's going to take care of them. You know, some Gentiles are going to take care of them. And the standard is to stay away from that Babylonian religion. Hey, shouldn't that be our standard too? Yeah. Exactly. Don't mess around with that stuff, guys. Many of us have. They're a separated Jew in the tribulation that believes God is going to stick by his word. And he's going to stay right in tune with God. And there's many of us that stays right in tune with God, what God is doing today. There's many of us try to stay in tune with this over here. How was you doing with that? Not too good. That system over here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what it did? Set you up for failure. Because I tell you, you know as well as I know, when people get you saved today, what book did they tell you to read? John's a wonderful book. Wonderful book. But it don't have, yeah, in context, but it don't have much gospel in it. You give them the book of Romans. They'll find out who they are. And they tell you, hey, you trust Christ, died for your sins, buried, and rose again. That's great. Praise God, hallelujah. But you need to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got to do what Jesus said. They give you red letter Bibles. And they put emphasis on that red letter. But who's Jesus?
God.
Who spoke the word of God? God. If anything, all of us should be red letter. But they put emphasis. You know, in Paul, in the book of Acts, when there's only one, I think it's Acts. There's only one, when Paul says, he speaks what God says. And if you got a red letter Bible, it's a red letter. But you can't see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John what he had. Blessed those that give. I think that's the verse. But what I'm getting at is, if you're over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're trying to explain to people you have to live that way, did it ever occur to you they couldn't live that way? They failed. So you're going to tell somebody how to get over here and live that? You're shaking your heads now. You know, before we many of us was caught up in that. But look, the separated Jew in the tribulation period believes what God's doing, and they stick by the word. He doesn't get involved in mixed up Baal worship. That is going to be when the Antichrist shows up. And he'll get there soon. There's going to be a tribulation when the Antichrist shows up. And here's what happens. It hasn't died out, what I'm trying to say is. That religion, I'm going to get ready to close, started over here. Actually started in Babel. You know, that's the first place where you find the word kingdom in your Bible. It's the kingdom in Babylon. You know where Babel was? East of what?
Eden.
You know where Eden was? Triangle of Eden. And God had a garden. It don't say in Eden. East of Eden. So it's right here. Paradise. Most beautiful place on earth. So when God casted Adam and Eve out, where did everybody go? East of that. And what did he do? Build a kingdom. So my thought is this. If you're following the Bible and somebody said, hey, there's a kingdom over here east of Eden, and you've been taught verbally that God has had a paradise east of Eden, people thought that was paradise. And they built a kingdom and a Babylon. That wasn't a good thing. I'll close right there, guys. Any thoughts or comments? Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.